I mean, in a way, this is, I saw this as a bit of a poor man's Tarantino movie. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm sorry, I know people are going to hate me for that.
Oh, but, man.
I saw it as a bit of a poor man's Tarantino movie. And that was their attempt at doing kind of the whole Pulp Fiction Royale with cheese conversation, or, you know, slip something like that in it. My man. I love God, this morning. This is actually probably the only clown I've ever found funny in my life.
And I do love the scene where we're introduced to him.
Again, talk about introducing you to a character gently. My God. I really can't say that because explicit warning or no explicit warning, your shit would be banned and taken off the air. I'll tell you afterwards.
Fair enough. Yeah. You're like teasing the listeners, they'll never know.
Well, they can DM me for details at the end.
Hello, and welcome to the Screams and Moans podcast, the podcast about movies and sex, but not together, because that would be porn. I'm your host, Megan, and this episode, I'm joined by Ian. Hello.
Hello. Nice to hear from you again. It's been a long time.
Right? At least mm-hmm. this time, we're living in the same country now, which is
yeah,
nice.
it's much better recording in the same time zone. I haven't had a chance to get drunk yet, so it might be a little bit more coherent this time around.
That 6-hour time difference could be a doozy at times.
Yeah, it certainly was.
Saying, oh, you're okay to record at 11 o'clock at night, right? That'll be cool.
Yeah, I'll just have a little bit of Dutch courage at 5 p.m. Just one, you know, I mean, to steady the nerves. Next thing I know, right, it's time to record and I'm doing cartwheels and singing Hello Dolly.
Hey, it's entertaining though, right? It's all entertainment.
Yeah, it's all good.
Speaking of, I know, unfortunately, we're all kind of in a lockdown at the moment, but what have you been doing to keep yourself entertained lately?
Well, exactly, it's not like there's anything massively windswept and interesting to report, really. We're all stuck at home, aren't we? But yeah, I've just been mooching on drinking quite heavily, to the point where it's my little lockdown project. I've even built a bar in my living room, so I've got beer on tap and all that kind of stuff.
Occupied. I was gonna say, do you have bar snacks as well? Like, is it a fully functional, like,
yeah,
ready to
go?
Yeah,
I'm sat here now looking up. We've got scampi fries, Monster Munch, peanuts. Yeah, we're doing all right.
Man, that makes me want to go out and grab some Monster Munch right now. however, crunch, crunch, crunch. Well, recording probably not ideal.
Yeah, it's not conducive, really.
Not unless I'm making one of those, is it ASMR videos, where we'll just slowly crunch on the Monster Munch.
So how about you? Have you been up to much? I mean, again, we're all in the same predicament, really. But...
Yeah, I mean, not a whole lot. We've been going out for a few walks, because we live kind of near a country park and stuff like that. Mm. So at least we can get out and walk a little bit, but... yeah. I just had my birthday earlier this week.
Yeah, happy birthday. A big one, eh?
Oh, big one. I'm old now. Well, not really. I don't feel old. but
join the club.
But yeah, I did turn 40 this month, and you know, I thought, oh, I'm gonna, you know, have a long weekend trip to Europe. No, coronavirus says no. And then I thought, oh, well, you know, we could either go up to Yorkshire. No, that wasn't happening either. So, yeah, basically just spent a bit of walking, but mostly at home with a lot of alcohol, a lot of rum, and a curry as well. So,
There are always ways to spend your day. That's not bad.
exactly.
Yeah,
Nice takeaway.
that's happened to a few of my friends, actually. They've had birthdays during lockdown. A couple of them have been hit their 40th as well. And it's just such a shame because you have such big plans for that particular birthday, but it's one of these milestones. And then I see you just sat around scratching your arse. It's a shame, but we will all get together and have one massive party at the end of it. You know, that's the idea.
Exactly. I can just imagine, like, the parties once this is all over. It'll just be pandemonium. It'll probably be like, I don't know, almost like.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. Or like, it's just gonna open up this whole new era of, like, craziness and free love and drugs and everything else. Like, whatever you can do, just do it. It's gonna be one of those.
No change there then.
Well, no change for Hebden Bridge, really. Oh. So, I guess speaking of people just doing whatever the fuck they want, it's probably a good segue into the movie that we watched for this episode.
Quite. Wow. Okay.
So we covered Devil's Rejects by Rob Zombie. I feel like it is one of those movies where people either really, really love Rob Zombie or they really, really hate Rob Zombie. But I know, Ian, this was your first time watching the film, so I'm kind of curious what your initial thoughts are.
I think my initial thought was, Megan, what the f are you making me watch? It's certainly straight to the point, isn't it? I actually watched it this morning, so probably mornings are the best time to sit down and watch something like that. So it's like,
Nice
there's
start
nothing
to the
like a bit
day.
of nothing like a bit of hardcore alcohol and drug abuse and prostitution, etc., to really help the conflicts go down, you know. And then I watched the movie. I think it's fair to say this one's definitely not for kids. Yeah.
No.
Probably not for most adults either, to be fair. But there you go.
Yeah, I think it's one of those interesting ones, and there is actually, I thought about it afterwards, there is kind of a prequel called House of a Thousand Corpses.
Yeah, I've heard of that, but again, I haven't actually seen it.
Yeah, it's just as gritty as this one, but it probably would help with some of the backstory and kind of where Devil's Rejects just kind of jumps in to the immediate setting of, like, the sheriff's department manhunt. So maybe you would have benefited from that, but I'm just gonna have the fun this episode with the fact that you haven't. So,
Okay.
and I did try, because I have watched it before, I did try to kind of sit back and not get ahead of myself. So when I kind of made some of my notes in terms of, things that I noticed or wanted to talk about or things, I tried to do that with kind of the, like, a fresh perspective or eyes and stuff like that. And yeah, so I mean, I already kind of talked about the manhunt at the beginning and the sheriff. I mean, I don't know about you, but obviously as the movie went on, the sheriff kind of.
It's a weird character. At first, you kind of think he's just a good old-fashioned sort of badass lawman kind of thing, but you kind of see how his mental health deteriorates, and yeah, it's quite an interesting character, really.
Yeah, it's that whole thing where you think, was he always this mentally insane, or is it just the circumstances that probably help contribute to that? But
Yeah, it kind of struck me as being kind of on the edge anyway, but obviously, as we'll probably discuss, there are certain things that do, like I said, just push you over the edge that little bit. And I say a little bit, batshit crazy, let's face it, but
especially
there
when, I mean, I'm not going to jump to the ending just yet,
are. No.
but complete everyone is batshit crazy by that point of the film, really. So I guess in terms of things things that you noticed as we kind of went through the film? What was one of the first things or scenes that was really memorable for you?
Yeah, I mean, it throws you in right from the start, really. I mean, before anything even happens, there's a weird guy dragging a corpse through the woods. And it's like, I haven't even had a sip of my cup of tea yet, and there's dog rotting boobies everywhere and stuff. Like, what the? so that was really my first impression. Like I say, WTF. Like, I'm in for some ride here, you know, because that's how it starts. Especially how the hell is it going to continue? And I wasn't really disappointed. Horrified, but not disappointed.
Well, when I first watched it as well, you kind of think Tiny will be the main antagonist of the movie. Mm. And I think that threw me the first time watching it, because you're right, you kind of see Tiny at the beginning, who, of course, is not Tiny.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about him not long after that, because there's so many things going on, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's certainly pretty important to the plot.
Yeah, so I think for me, part of what makes this film is that every single one of the characters is quite unique and almost extreme in terms of their personality traits.
Very much so, yeah.
You know, because we've got Baby, who is, you know, like the sexy, I don't know, she's like a poster child for why you shouldn't just like chase after beautiful women who are promising you shit.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. There were definitely, with the character Baby, there was definitely hints of sort of Harley Quinn about her, really, in her insanity, and just the way she sort of mixes her sort of sexuality with her insanity, and just, yeah, she was actually a very good character. I thought it was very well acted, that. But yeah, she was, again, they're all just nuts.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say, and I didn't even think about it being quite like Harley Quinn until you mentioned that, but you're right, it's that kind of, I don't, you know, cute but psycho, like sexy but psycho thing going on. And then you have her brother Otis, which, I mean, Otis on his own is quite disturbing, but that whole sibling relationship was quite weird to me.
It's creepy. It's almost, it makes you wonder if it's incestuous or what. It's just, yeah, that actually, I found that quite unnerving, actually. It was a bit, there's so many awkward things in this movie. You know, that was certainly one of them. It just really sort of made my skin crawl a bit. It's like, I say, is that an incestuous relationship? There's certainly some sort of obsessive connection between them, but it's,
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, I'm thinking of the scene towards the beginning where they're going to escape and meet up at this hotel.
Yeah.
So they get to the hotel, and they need a room, but they can't just, like, rock up and ask for a room in the state that they're in. So Baby lures a couple of roadies.
Yeah, what they called Banjo and Sullivan or something like that. They're a little band that are on the road touring and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've rocked up at this motel.
And, you know, when they're in the room and then they've kind of got everyone in there, and they're finally realizing like shit is going down and things are not normal, it's that whole piece where, like, when Otis was like, what, don't you think my sister's sexy, don't you want to, like,
do this? Doing a bit of a dance, isn't she? And yeah, that was so creepy. Seeing a little annoying, that was another Harley Quinn moment, really. She's giving a little rhyme, I can't remember what it was that she was singing. It was quite suggestive, and she was dancing very suggestively in front of the guy with his wife sat next to him. And it's like, what's wrong? Are you looking at my sister? Are you getting ideas, son? And it's, that whole scene, pretty much everything that took place in that the motel room, was a lot of it was very uncomfortable viewing, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, it definitely pushes those boundaries in terms of like a lot of uncomfortable situations and
for me to say that, I mean, you know me, I'm not exactly a delicate little flower, but there was certainly, I was absolutely cringing.
Yeah, I mean, just, well, we already kind of covered the sibling piece, but even beyond that, it was kind of that, I feel like it set the tone and the realism. Like at first you kind of think, oh, you know, we're watching this like Manhunt, it's gonna be one of those movies that it doesn't get into the gritty details, but then you're kind of confronted with how violent they actually are. So even though, well, Baby as a great example, Otis maybe not so much, that they can be charming in their own way.
Yeah, as I think I took to as evil and as nasty as the characters are, I think I kind of was rooting for them in a way, apart from, oh, yes, he was a bellend. I didn't like him, but yeah, so
You better hope he
the other
doesn't hear
characters.
that.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah. I understand.
But you're right. It's showing you how horrific the acts actually are. So, you know, everything from when he takes the guys out to dig up some weapons,
Yeah.
and you know, one of the quotes that was memorable for me was the part where, you know, Otis is just like, "I am the devil, and I am here to do the devil's work." And just like how completely, there's no negotiation, right? Like, you are not in control of that situation.
And he's so zealous about it as well. I mean, say, God, pray to you, God, what's he going to do? And he's shouting up to God himself, like, come on, here I am. You know what I mean? You're going to rescue your little, you know what I mean? And it's like, it's just the level of not just physical but psychological tortures that he sort of inflicts on people. It's pretty hard hitting.
Yeah, it's that kind of dark realism of the inability to bargain with a psychopath, and yet within it, like some of the things he says, and I'm gonna wish I had a better example of this because I don't, but it's that as well. He's like this horrible fucking person, and he just makes you cringe, but at the same time, like he does have this like, I put almost black, but like very dark sense of humor throughout the film as well. So it's not something you want to laugh at,
Mean,
but.
there were, I did get a few in amongst all the sort of the gore, because like I say, it doesn't leave anything to the imagination. There were a few laugh out loud moments, even when it was, even in the nasty bits. It's like, oh. I don't know if it was nervous laughter or just a genuine sort of belly laugh, but either way, I certainly had a few chuckles out of it. Yeah, I mean that scene where we're just talking about where he takes him out to recover some buried guns, and of course, spoiler alert, folks, but the younger of the two men that he takes with him to dig up decides to have a pop in. He sees his opportunity, cracks him one, and he's like, no, a bid for escape. And part of me was just thinking, how stupid. Because this guy's obviously nuts. But at the same time, if you're in that situation, chances are you're a goner anyway. So you might as well, if you're going to go out, you might as well at least have that last desperate sort of attempt at getting away. But at the same time, I was thinking, don't do it, man. This isn't going to end well for you. This isn't going to end well. It's too early in the movie. We know that you're not going to
There's still some
win.
women back in the hotel room with Baby. This isn't gonna bode well.
Totally.
Yeah. No, I think you're right, and it is that whole piece, and back in the room obviously with there's Baby and the couple of women, and even there, you know, again, you figure that's it. Like these people are fucking crazy, right? Like they're gonna do anything. I thought the, oh, can I use the bathroom was a little bit like, oh, every fucking movie, right? Like but the minute I heard that, I knew more shit was going down.
I mean, for a brief moment when I said Baby was there and she's with the two female hostages. Stupid, I know, but I kind of thought, well, maybe it's the women together, they might find a bit of empathy here or something, but yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know, it's
I mean, I just kept trying to find like redeeming features because normally any kind of bad guy or something, it's a bit of a movie trope, really.
Yeah, you're normally made to hate them and despise them and to kind of be going against them, but you're right, this kind of turns it into as it's like that delicate balance of they are horrific, well, their acts are horrific, and clearly they don't give a shit about anyone but themselves, but at the same time, they can be quite funny or charming in their own way. And I feel like for me, the character that is most like that we haven't even talked about yet. So, as I was saying, well, the characters can be quite dark. They also are funny in their own way. And I feel like the character who actually does this the best and is probably the funniest, we haven't even talked about yet. And and that's Captain Spaulding.
My man. I love Captain Spaulding. God, this is actually probably the only clown I've ever found funny in my life.
I do love the scene where we're introduced to him.
Again, talk about introducing you to a character gently. My God.
But the whole thing is at first I thought, oh yeah, like again, he's, fucking a prostitute. And
And my word, they are going like the clappers as well. My
Right?
goodness, yeah, bloody hell, fire.
It was all going
I was
well.
watching thinking, that's got to chafe.
Well, I thought maybe if you weren't out of bed yet, you
I
were.
nearly spilled me cornflakes.
But then.
That's not a euphemism, by
Oh, I thought maybe it
the
was. So. But then everything changes quite drastically, both in the dream and when we hit reality.
Yeah. It's actually quite a funny scene, though. Yeah. I mean, I know it's spoilers, but I suppose we should explain, really, that we're introduced to him, basically a big, one of the ugliest dudes you've ever seen, with rotten teeth and clown paint on his face, big hairy Sasquatch-looking motherfucker. Right, and he's got his prostitute riding him like there's no tomorrow. And I won't give you full spoilers about what happens, but let's say he wakes up with a bang, and it was all a dream kind of thing, and he turns around to his actual missus. It was some real trailer park, just, oh my God, the state of this lass, you wouldn't believe it. And she's after getting a bit of sweet loving as well, isn't she? But he's not having it.
Oh.
He gets out of bed in his shitty underpants, brown stained underpants, scratches his ass, and she's like, come and get some of this sweet loving or something.
Yeah.
Now, what has he said? Right, forgive me, folks. These aren't my words. You know what I mean? Don't name and shame me on public media. But as he scratches his ass and she's asking for a bit of loving, I think he calls him the lines of a spastic mongoloid in heat. It's like, what? That's a nice way to talk to your missus. Like,
Right, and then he's like gonna go have a shit or piss or something, and she's still like, oh, come on, I'll still do it, I'll still, like, what?
Did you have enough last night? My dick's still sore.
He's like, I ain't want none of that.
Well, he's got better things to do, hasn't he? He's booked like a commercial to be aired on local TV promoting his clown stuff.
I love that. And I know we both know a gent by the name of Matt Bubbles.
Yep.
He
Shout out to Matt. Good
Shout
point.
out to Matt. He does an amazing Captain Spaulding, if I remember right.
Do you
He's
know what? I mean, I've never made that connection, but having seen him with his face made up matte in various photos and things, I get it now. I just thought he was just being mental.
That he just wanted to be a crazy clown.
Yeah, I didn't make the connection until you said that. That's brilliant.
And he's kind of got that booming voice as well.
Yeah, he's such a diamond bloke.
But
yeah, shout out Matt.
But yeah, I feel like, well, in my world anyway, as much as, like you said, he's like rotted teeth, he's not a nice man. Crazy, you know, like one of those roadside attraction kind of theme park things.
Kind of like
going on.
A much darker version of Krusty the Clown when he sort of devolves into alcoholism and I don't know if you've ever seen, I'm sure, maybe I've imagined that, I'm sure there was one episode of The Simpsons where Krusty is basically like a bum on the street or something, just like ranting incoherently, and I can definitely see comparisons with that. Or maybe I dreamt it. You see, he gets all these cool dreams with all these sexy prostitutes. I dream about Krusty the Clown. Just start painting my face on.
Maybe that's it. All you need is a bit of face paint, some shitty... No, I'm not going to go there.
Some shitty bands. Stop halfway there. It's a work in progress.
Right. Oh, I'm not going to go there. But, well, I kind of did, but I'm sorry. But then, you know, like, at the same time, so exactly, he's got this amazing advertisement going on, and then he gets a call from Baby, which I never noticed before, but... You know, when you watch a movie again and again, you pick up things that maybe you didn't
before.
Yeah,
there's also the Ossifying,
exactly. And the billboard behind her says, "On the Run Again."
Ah,
and I
nice
never
touch.
Noticed that.
I didn't pick up on that either. That's cool.
Yeah, and that's when you find out he's their dad. Now, I kind of wonder, is he really their dad? Or is this like a, you know, like a family in terms of... They've made
like
their
some,
own family?
Some weird commune of just wastes, strays, and psychopaths.
Serial
which
killers.
Which might explain the sort of incestuous tones between Otis and Baby as well.
Maybe they were once an item.
Yeah. I mean, I think probably they are just redneck fucking... just dirty fucking...
Then again, their mom, Mama Firefly... She has a scrapbook of, you know, them growing up and all their crimes together.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's an interesting scrapbook, isn't it? Our collection of them. Like, oh, here's Baby play on the swings. Here's a dead hooker. Here's this.
Right. Here's Otis's first dead hooker. Yeah.
Oh, the memories. Oh, you know what I mean? The memories like that, you've got to cherish them.
My babies.
Bless them.
I also think she was another winning character that is underrated in this film.
Yeah. And she was actually, even though she doesn't appear that much, there are a couple of scenes where she's actually like, in a police cell. After she's actually the only one that gets sort of captured after the initial raid at the beginning of the video. And some of her conversations with the sheriff and stuff actually quite important. They're kind of the catalyst to send him down that mad vigilante sort of streak that he goes on. Just winding him up and a few little revelations that she drops on him.
I was gonna say, when she pulled open her scrapbook to a specific page, and then again it kind of hints at that, the backstory
as well.
I feel like people who have seen this film and are listening to us talk right now are probably like, they're giving the shittest detail to any of
us. I know, well, I'm trying to sort of do it without massive spoilers.
No, exactly.
I mean, in previous last couple of shows that I've done with you, Megan, I've basically just read the script of the movie out from start to finish. So I thought I'd try and be a little bit more standoffish on this one and just hint at some good bits, and that way people have the opportunity to see it if they haven't.
Exactly.
It's one of those.
No, definitely. And I do think, you know, Screams and Moans has never been a show where we do things like in order, we're all over the place, like we're just gonna I think it's best to just kind of
just let it flow how it flows.
Exactly. We'll just let it flow. And now that let we've kind flow. Of introduced
Oh, sorry, I don't know.
That sounds like some sort of
I know, I was about to do a whole Frozen sort of skit then, but I'm just not gonna bother. this Irish whiskey is starting to kick in, I think.
Oh, that's amazing.
Speaking of which.
Oh, there we go. There we go. It must be done. But, you know, I think we have been talking about the different characters and as they kind of come in. So, you know, his baby's calling him. That's kind of around the same time they're headed to the hotel earlier.
Yeah. Well, she's calling him basically. Like I say, he was enjoying watching his little commercial, which gets interrupted by a newsflash. Well, so he kind of knows what's going on. The newsflash about the raid at the house and about discovering all these mass graves and everything that's gone on there and stuff. So he knows that shit's fucked. And like I say, he's talking to his Mrs. M's, right? Time to get out of Dodge, find a safe house. Kind of thing.
Yeah, she... spoilers, but there you go. Exactly. She doesn't want him to go, though. Mm. But he's more than happy to go. I mean, he's headed to a whorehouse, though, right?
Yeah. I'm just laughing at that closing scene where he's basically toodaloo, motherfucker, to that trailer park, but to his missus. Oh my god. So yeah, that's the safe house, isn't it? It's basically a brothel in the middle of nowhere. But of course, he has to go and meet up with his family first at the pick up from the motel.
Oh, definitely, and yeah.
Where things have developed quite, to quite sinister turn there as well. In fact, I don't know whether to give this spoiler or not, but we've already hinted that it turns into a shit show, this whole hostage situation. But one of the most fucked up things in the movie, and probably in any movie I've ever seen, actually, and fast forward 20 seconds if you don't want to hear this. But after he's killed one of these geezers when they were digging up the guns, he actually cuts off the guy's face and comes in wearing it as a mask. And that is just the most fucked up shit I've ever seen.
And as hilarious as he finds it as well.
Oh, he's laughing and he takes the mask off and he's like making the mouth move, doing a little puppet act with it. And
see, then you're laughing.
I know, he's just like, I think it's more just laughing at the ridiculousness of it. It's like, if I took it seriously, I'd be having nightmares.
Right.
Especially considering what happens to that mask later, you know, what he then does with it. But my god.
Oh, yeah. To me, you're right, though. What happens with the mask next is probably the most disturbing thing.
Yeah, I mean, even if that was a situation you'd survive, you'd just be in an asylum. You'd absolutely just be in an asylum afterwards. It's fucked.
That would be it, for sure. Yeah, definitely. So, you know, as we mentioned, kind of Captain Spaulding's making his way there. For me, one of the other scenes that really makes an impression is when he runs out of petrol.
So he needs to find a new ride.
Yeah. But yeah, so in this scene, as you mentioned, he needs to get a new ride. And it's actually some of my favorite quotes of this film.
Oh, there's some great, great, great dialogue.
So, I mean, when he walks up to this mom and this child, her child, and they're still... I think it's a station wagon or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, the kid's sat in the car and she's just filled it with gas or something.
Yeah, get in the car. But, you know, when he's starting to talk to her and he's like, yeah, I'm gonna need your vehicle, essentially. Mm. And she was like, what kind of clown business do you mean? And he's like, do I stutter, bitch?
Like... Fuck, he knocks her out.
Right.
But when he does jump into the car with the kid in there, gets terrified, she just won't get her head kicked in. It was that horrible. Again, like the teeth are a big part of his look. So the big rotten, dirty yellow and black teeth and the manky clown makeup and shit. But like I said, it's just a conversation he has with the kid. Just absolutely, I'd be wetting myself.
Oh man, when he's like, "What's the matter, kid? Don't you like clowns?"
That clowns. And he's like, "No. Why don't you fucking like clowns?" He goes to the bathroom. He says, "I'm gonna go and do this, that, and the other. But when I come back, if you can't give me a good reason why you don't like clowns, I'm gonna kill your whole fucking family." Oh, it's brutal, but it's hilarious. Like I said, this is
Oh,
probably the first clown I've ever found amusing in my
it's the
entire
best.
life.
Like I said, it's like if you think about it, it is horrific, but it's hilarious. Like I can't. And so, he essentially he makes it to the hotel. Does he make it to the hotel or does he? Oh,
Yeah,
I'm
he makes it
forgetting
to
that.
the yeah he does he makes it to the motel just as kind of the last well, I'm getting spoilers, but just as someone is making her escape and being chased by down the road by baby, and she's like, "Get her, daddy." She just so happens to run into him perfect timing that point.
I forgot about that actually. It'd been a couple of weeks since I watched it.
Yeah, another nice bit of not for the faint-hearted in that particular scene.
No,
Not one,
which.
not a scene for vegans.
No. And then. Yeah, that leads to the horrific scene, which we've already talked about. And I do think it's funny how once they all get together, the dynamic between Otis and Captain Spaulding the entire time.
Yeah, it's absolutely, it's for something so dysfunctional, there's almost something normal about it, isn't there? There's sort of like the petulant child arguing with his kid's sister, and the dad
Like,
trying to keep it
fuck
under
you.
control,
No.
and
Fuck you. There's obviously a lot of swearing in this film as well.
I mean, I should apologize. I tried to keep the swearing down on this one because the last couple of shows I've done with you have been terrible. But again, like I say, the whiskey is flowing, and I think it's in context with the movie as well. If I hadn't have watched that, my vocabulary would have been much better. But I think it's imprinted on my brain. I'm saying effing this, effing that.
Yeah,
But it's on my brain now.
it's all right. We carry an explicit warning here on Screams and Moans, if nothing else, for the second half. So,
Mate, you're lucky. I was originally going to make a little comment stroke joke about that very, very opening scene. But I thought, no, I can't say that. I really can't say that because, explicit warning or no explicit warning, your shit would be banned and taken off
fair.
the
Fair enough. You
air.
like teasing the listeners, they'll never know.
Well, they can DM me for details at the end. I'll give out the details.
There we go. But yeah, then they all head off to the whorehouse and meet Charlie.
Charlie. Now, Charlie again, he's another guy. In fact, I should have mentioned this before. There's quite a few already that have popped up through the movie. It's one of those, like, I just call him one of those actor guys. Well, obviously, he's an actor guy because he's an actor in the movie, but there's people you can't place, but you know you've seen him in a shit ton of other stuff.
Yeah.
But you can't quite place where you know him from. Or I think there's loads of those little appearances in this movie. Some great little cameos, some of which you do know and some of which you don't. But well, some of which I managed to suss out who they were and some who I didn't. But yeah, the pimp was Charlie, is it? Yeah,
Oh.
he was definitely one of them. He was
Yeah.
definitely one of them.
I recognize that guy as well.
Yeah, I did kind of have quite a bit of fun trying to play, spot the cameo.
That is something about Rob Zombie's films, right? They definitely have quite a few cameos by people. And
Anyway, sorry, I digressed then, I'm sorry. So we basically got to this whorehouse, which was supposed to be a safe house. Charlie the pimp, an old friend of our clown friend,
Yes.
and the family, and they proceed to party. Now, so the parties they have there, that is totally my kind of party, if it wasn't for the fact that everyone was waving guns around and killing each other type shit, or also the threat of being murdered for saying the wrong thing. But yeah, that.
Well,
when I get the bar up and running properly, get the stripper pole in. You know what I mean? I've been taking notes.
Maybe there's some parallels to those parties, which we won't cover on the show for legal reasons. And so, but yeah, I feel like, you know, even when they arrive at the whorehouse and that whole joke that Charlie plays on them at the beginning,
yeah,
it just sums up their whole sense of humor.
Yeah, the whole dynamic of the relationship, the whole sense of humor and stuff is like. If something that's me, I'd be horrified and shitting myself. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they're just laughing their heads off. Again, I won't go into actual details, but it's, yeah. What a welcome.
That's next level banter right there. But in the meantime, we've got the sheriff, right? He's getting his guys, his mercenaries, to kind of take these guys out once they find him.
Yeah. I don't know whether they're bounty hunters or just badass people, but yeah. He's...
Well, it's Danny Trejo, right? Like
Danny Trejo! Yes! You know that it's going to be a good movie if you see Danny Trejo in it. He's just, I love him so much. I mean, again, he's one of those kind of generic guys I was talking about, but except everyone actually does recognize him and know what they've seen him in. Fantastic. As soon as I saw him, I was like, yes, come on.
Right? Here but I go. Felt like. I felt like his role in this movie was quite understated compared to other stuff that he's done.
Yeah.
But, oh, go ahead.
Fairly. I mean, he did have a couple of good bits of dialogue and stuff, like the whole conversation about cockroaches and stuff. But, again, I won't.
Oh, yeah.
Spoilers and stuff. But, yeah, it was great to see him. He always cheers me up. See his sweet, smiling little face.
You're like, oh, shit's about to get real. Danny Trejo's here.
Yeah. As an aside, I should mention this. I mean, again, he's one of those people where everyone just... Sorry, my pet bird's there. Joining in.
She's enjoying the whiskey
she's
as well.
Enjoying it. Yeah, she just fumes. But again, like I said, Danny Trejo is one of those people... He's kind of the go-to... sort of talking scary Mexican dude, isn't he? Gangster dude. But I actually recently watched an interview that he did. It's the first time I've actually seen a proper interview with him. It's on YouTube, if anyone likes him or is interested in seeing it. Sorry for promoting other shows, Megan.
Nice.
But there's a guy called DJ Vlad, who's got a channel called Vlad TV, and he does a lot of interviews around the entertainment world. Oh, there's a lot of like rap stars and gangsters and sports stars and blah, blah, blah. But he did an interview with Danny Trejo. And he basically tells his life story, and fuck me, talk about, you know, reality matching art and all that kind of stuff.
Really?
I mean, what a life he's had. Is so, check out Vlad TV, Danny Trejo, if you're interested. It's not a massively long interview. It's cut into a few segments, but it's well worth watching. So there you go.
There we go. Added bonus and promoting.
Added bonus. Nice little Easter egg in the middle of the
I wonder if we'll get any kickbacks for that promotion.
I doubt it. Incidentally, I'm drinking the Pogue's Irish Whiskey. Triple distilled. Marvellous.
You shut the fuck up.
Silky smooth. That's right. Sorry. Come on.
Oh, the
come
brood.
On. Yeah. Papa needs free whiskey. You've got to give a dog a bone. Sorry, I'm grabbing a tangent.
Oh, as usual, I lose complete control of my show. It's fine.
So we're at the brothel.
We're at the brothel. We're partying.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Trejo and his homies know exactly where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
Sheriff comes, pays off Charlie.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. I mean, that is actually one of my favourite scenes. I was pissing myself. Charlie the pimp with his scary looking mate, decides to go and buy a couple of chickens for a feast. And they meet this really proper Cletus type, no missing teeth, chewing a bit of straw type fella to buy these chickens off. Darryl, I think he was called. And he just descends into a whole conversation about whether or not he's planning on fucking these chickens. Like, do I look like the kind of motherfucker who fucks chickens? Have you ever fucked a chicken, motherfucker? It's like, well, I've thought about it, but it's like, it's just a weird tangent about chicken shagging.
And like, if you were gonna fuck a chicken, you'd want this chicken.
Yeah, you want to cut off its head and then stick it down the neck so it flaps around and all. And it's just a mad conversation. But I was in hysterics. I mean, it's funny on its own, but in the news over this last couple of weeks, a chap in Bradford, which is a city, as you know, Megan, you've been to visit me, where I'm in sticks. But Bradford is maybe like six, seven, about half an hour away, put it that way. But it was all the news that a guy and his wife have just been like sent to prison and stuff. For shagging chickens.
Shut up.
No, I swear now. I swear now. Honestly, you can Google this shit, chicken shagger in Bradford. Like the wife was filming and doing all these kind of horrific acts. So that gave it extra comedy value for me. Again, another Easter egg for something to do, for some homework. Google the man arrested for shagging chickens in Bradford.
This is what you get. You get all that extra added content.
There's no fighting about. No, we give you everything that you need to sort of just
entertain yourself. Yeah. But
I mean, part of the reason I mentioned that scene as well, apart from it being hilarious, is this is when the sheriff rolls up on Charlie the Pimp and basically blackmails him and saying, "Right, we need to set these guys up. You know what I mean? I want them to make sure they're all in this place at midnight. I'll do the rest," kind of thing. So. Yeah, that's hence Danny Trejo and his boys and all that stuff. They know where to go and what to do.
That was the swiftest invasion I've ever seen in a movie, though. Well, I act as if it's like in life. Like, yeah. Oh yeah, of all of the...
Yeah, they're just like partying away and like, before you know it, up pops Danny, the odd like snap neck here and the odd little stealth shit. Like playing Hitman on the PlayStation or something.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So smooth. But obviously the sheriff, he wants them alive.
Yeah, I think the word he used was something along the lines of fuck them up as much as you want, but keep them alive long enough that I get to piss in their face before they die. At this point, we should say that the sheriff has gone pretty much psychotic and... It's just as mental as the, you know, as the main protagonist, really. It's just,
he's full vigilante at this point.
Yeah, well, he had a dream where it kind of goes back to what we were saying earlier about Mother Firefly and the stuff that she showed him in her little scrapbook. And he has a bit of a dream about that and just wakes up absolutely fucking psychotic as hell. And he's like, right, sheriff my ass, this is some vigilante shit, we're going after it. You know, so
which probably in the south some places totally get away with it, like who would miss these people, right?
And given all the evidence and the things that they found in the raids and the stuff, who would shed a tear anyway? You know what I mean? It's like,
right. Definitely. Mm-hmm. So quick raid. Then flashes to, I actually found it hard to watch the torture scene in the house.
Yeah.
When he's essentially the sheriff, to kind of set the scene.
Yeah, you know, he's taking them back after the ambush, hasn't he? Back to the ranch, I believe, to their house. And he's got them tied up and he's beating the shit out of them. And on just a mad rant, and he's showing them photographs going through all the victims. Right, who killed this person? Oh, that one was mine, ha ha ha. And it's like basically stapling attaching the photographs to the chest with a nail gun. You know what I mean? And this is the bloody law. You know, this is the sheriff doing this shit. Like, holy fuck.
It's twisted. And then, I mean, essentially, I mean, I know it's kind of that I'm gonna say juxtaposition, if that's the word for it, but the way that he then takes Otis's hands in terms of like a nail right through both of his hands, kind of like a Christ, anti-Christ like thing.
Yeah, and basically nails the hands, a big ass nail straight through the hands of the seat, nails in place. Yeah, and it's, yeah, I think whether that was deliberate. If it was deliberate, I'm not sure it was done that well, to be honest. But definitely, but I think there were definitely tones there, overtones of like the Passion of the Christ and the crucifixion, that kind of thing.
Yeah, only where the sheriff then thought he was like essentially on a mission from God to rid the earth of evil and all of that.
So yeah, the sheriff goes back into his own family history, where he explains that his granddad and all that were actual proper old school vigilante bounty hunters who would take the law into their own hands and stuff. I was trying to do things the right way, but basically, fuck them. You know what I mean? So, and the stuff he does is just horrific. It really is. But at the same time, it's hard to feel sorry for them. Where at this point, you are kind of, in a sick way, endeared to them, even though there's nothing redeeming about them. You know, but even so, it's like, should I be feeling sorry for them?
Right, like...
Not really.
Especially when you're faced with, like, that whole, like you said, the piece where he's like, which one of you murdered this girl? This cheerleader, blah, blah, blah.
That was actually a great line. Otis the asshole. It shows a picture of a... This is, I don't know, Sally, cheerleader at high school, head cheerleader, blah, blah, blah. She looks pretty, don't she? This is what she looked like when we pulled her out from your fucking torture basement, especially to rot corpse. He goes, not so pretty now, is she? Not so fuckable now? And he just goes, yeah, she is.
You know,
like, he's still having the corpse and stuff. Like, what?
Oh, yeah. And then when he was like, oh, yeah, don't worry, I'm not even going to repeat the act that he did for a month. When she was in that state. So I think it is that gentle reminder of, even though you're like, what the fuck is the sheriff doing? It's like, but these are fucking terrible people.
Yeah. Like, I kind of found my allegiances changing from one sentence to the next, really. I'm thinking, fuck you, sheriff. And then he'd say something like that. I'm like, go on, sheriff, do it.
Right. And then, he just leaves them and lights the house on fire, right?
Yeah, yeah. And at which point, of course, Baby manages to do a bit of a runner. She manages to escape while her family are all tied up and nailed to their seats and stuff. But, of course, the sheriff ain't willing to leave her like that. He's going to chase after her.
No. Come on, rabbit.
Yeah.
Again, you talk about like changing allegiance. When the sheriff did that whole bit at the end with Baby, like, she's fucking terrible too, but I was like, that's almost a step too far. Like,
yeah, she was getting a fair kicking, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, she probably had it coming, but I was already so invested at this point. I was like, what an asshole! Come on! It's Charlie the pimp shows up again.
Like, yeah, we think, oh, here we are. She's safe. Charlie's turned up to redeem himself.
Or is she?
All I can say is that sheriff's a bad motherfucker. you'd be better off staying at home, Charlie.
Do what you know best. Just pimp out those hoes. You'd be
pimp
fine.
Out those hoes, smoke your weed, and just chill.
Exactly.
So it looks like it's curtains for Baby at that point, but these movies always have a twist.
Right? There's always that miracle at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got Tiny again, right?
Yeah, we've not really seen him since the opening scene. Yeah.
But he's back.
Mm-hmm. And good night, Vienna, for the sheriff, really. just as Baby's taking a last breath, this looming figure behind him, and that's it.
That's
go to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect £200.
Exactly. And Tiny to the rescue.
Yeah.
But the part that didn't make sense to me. So, I mean, obviously, this is going to be a
Yeah.
complete spoiler alert.
Yeah. I mean,
About.
to yeah. I mean, to be fair, he does. She's like the rest of them are all tied up. Go and help him, which kind of does. But yeah, I think I know the part that you're talking about. Sorry, I'll let you continue.
Yeah, no, it's. I don't understand. Why did he go back into the burning house?
Yeah, they're all setting off. They're all beat up and shot up and knackered in the car about to drive off. And he's like, "Yeah, don't worry, we'll come back for you in a bit." And he just walks back into the burning house. But, I mean, what was he? We never got any explanation of why he did that. What was he trying to rescue something? Was it? I mean, he was already. I don't think we mentioned this, but he's obviously been through something mental in his past because he's horrifically burned anyway. He's like, looks like Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
You know, when you actually have the odd little glimpses you get of his face. But why did he just walk back into that inferno? There's no explanation for why he did it. We don't know what happened to him afterwards. It's just, yeah, that's one of the main question marks hanging over the movie for me, really.
Same. I want to know what happened to Tiny. But then the other three drive off, well, into the distance, basically, but.
Yeah, it isn't long before their encounter roadblocks, etc. Blah blah blah. I suppose
A
again
good
without,
play of Freebird.
I suppose without going into too much details, it's fair to say they have their moment of glory, their Thelma and Louise moment, shall we call it?
Yes. It's definitely one of those moments. And the interesting part I won't get into on this show as well is there is actually a follow-up movie called Three from Hell.
Maybe that's where we see Tiny again.
Now you're gonna make me think about it. Oh, my memory is shit. It's that turning 40.
Well,
It's already
it's all down
gone.
here from it's all downhill from there, I'll tell you.
Oh man, I'm forgetting left and right. But this Three from Hell does kind of carry on the story. And it was actually one of the last things that Sid Haig, the actor who played Captain Spaulding, did
All right.
before he died. So
I might have to check that. I might have to check that out. I suppose you should check out the first one as well. You know, I mean, just to put everything into context.
oh, definitely I would check them out. Three from Hell, probably not the best film I've ever seen. But it does kind of at least carry on a bit about what I'll say, like what happens afterwards and stuff like that. Because it's looking quite grim when they end Devil's Rejects.
All
Not
right, okay.
looking good. So yeah. So
All right,
that,
I'll definitely check that out. Yeah, that's cool.
yeah, you'll have to. Now that I've sucked you in, you'll have to watch all of the series.
Yeah, okay. Just maybe not while meeting the conflict, so that's
No.
the
You'll have a bit more hint of what's coming. Well, I'm glad, I at least I feel happy that you seem to enjoy some parts of the movie versus just the WhatsApp I got following it saying, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, well, when I said I watched it this morning, that is true. But I kind of had an attempt at watching it midweek. But to be fair, I wasn't really paying attention. I was a bit hammered and tired and just like the. So I missed loads of it. And I'm like, what the fuck's this shit? I couldn't really get my head into it. But I thought it deserved a second, no, a proper watch through rather than just kind of a half-assed attempt. And this time around, I definitely picked up on more things that had kind of passed me by, and found it a lot more enjoyable on the having watched it properly, rather than just sort of have no, well, try to eat a slice of pizza and then farting and oh, I'll just nip to the bottom. Yeah, just when I could actually sit and concentrate on it. I actually said this to a friend. I was messaging her earlier. So I said that we're going to be recording. I was watching through the movie. And I said to her, I actually found it far more enjoyable, second time round. So fair play.
Maybe that's why Sai and I keep watching this movie. Maybe there's like a little bit more every time you watch it.
Yeah. That and the fact you're both fucking psychopaths.
Shh.
Yeah.
Shh. We said we never talk about that. Well, I think with that, it's probably a good time to get ready for the second half.
Ooh.
I am the devil, and I am here to do the devil's work. You want to see badass, motherfucker? I'll show you badass!
What's the matter, kid? Don't you like clowns? Why? Don't we make you laugh? Aren't we fucking funny?
I want you to pray to your God. I want you to pray that he comes and saves you. I want lightning to come down and crash upon my fucking head.
Jesus.
Louder!
Ah, bless the bunnies. Bless the little birds. Bless
I don't feel anything.
Bless the springtime morning.
Oh, I feel it.
Oh, great God Almighty, I repent, I repent!
And we're back for our sexy second half. I hope you're ready. Did your bird just say induce that on cue as well?
No, that was me.
So, yeah, we've kind of started a little bit of a new thing with Screams and Moans now that we've relaunched it again. And that is, your question will actually be whatever my last guest has posed for a question.
Okay.
And then at the end of this, I'm going to ask you. So start thinking about what sex related question you would want to ask my next guest.
Okie dokie.
The benefit you have is you already know who my next guest is, but
I know. But that's also the problem, because I'm tempted just to go really full on with it, but just to annoy him. But
it's only because you want to hear him absolutely have a rant back at you.
Yeah, totally.
Abuse you on the next episode.
Yeah.
Anyway, so last episode, I had the lovely Melissa Maples on. And but her question was, since the start of the pandemic, what changes or surprises have you seen in terms of how people relate to each other sexually?
Wow. Okay. That's, in some ways, that's a difficult one, because I haven't fucking seen anybody. I've been a hermit for 8 months, you know what I mean? But I suppose, yeah, I have seen certain things, certainly like social media. You know, like you could tell that some people are getting flirty. Maybe there are a few pent-up desires going on there. You know what I mean? Less people are just rampant, basically.
No, I'm kind of curious. I mean, don't out
no,
people
just
on
like,
here.
I mean, I've not been involved in any of that malarkey myself, because I'm a God-fearing man. But I've seen... I've definitely seen... You know, if you read into things, you can see lots of flirtations going on. You can tell people are starting to get a bit rampant, a bit frustrated.
from kind of being alone for a while.
Not being able to go down the Acapulco nightclub and get fisted in the toilet. But, not mentioning any names. But,
I mean,
I've got to be fucking careful here, because I'm pissed now. I could tell you put people in some shit.
I mean, but, I was almost going to out my mum there for a minute, but I'm not going to say
that. I've never seen her down the Acapulco. I'm sorry, Donna. I love you. But, yeah, I also imagine as well, like I said, people have been obviously under quarantine and lockdown and all this malarkey and stuff. I reckon we're probably due an influx of COVID babies. Probably the first batch of them are probably already arriving, the second batch probably next summer. You know what I mean?
Stay tuned.
Yeah. It's like, once you've completed Netflix, even if you hate your husband or wife, there's fuck all else to do. So it's like... It's like, harsh. It's like the cinema's closed, so, you know what I mean? Oh, go on then, man.
Yeah.
So how about you? Have you noticed any shenanigans going on? Sorry, I'm not even...
No, sorry, no, it's fine. Well, no, I mean, I was just thinking, obviously, I'm married, so not a lot has changed in terms of...
Oh, so this might be a COVID baby come June.
No, I mean, if I could get a COVID cat, maybe. Could I get a COVID cat?
Well, you're not going to shag a cat, are
you? No. No.
Back to the chickens again, aren't we?
This isn't Bradford. sorry, anyone listening in Bradford.
I'm not.
But no, I mean, I think it's kind of business as usual in terms of that for us. But that makes it sound so cold. Oh, it's just business as usual.
No, you're just as rampant as you ever were. You know
exactly.
I mean? After like bloody rabbits, honestly. Fucking neighbours complaining to the council.
I just turned 40. That's like, you know, my sex drive's just gonna start.
Oh, game
ramping
over then.
Up
it.
From
all,
that.
It's all stops from there. Then. Yeah, I mean. No.
Oh, well, I thought for women it like ramps up though. We're like, it's gonna be peak times.
There you go. Brace yourself, sight.
but yeah. So, I think, you know, in terms of ourselves, I don't think it really has changed, but I feel like how people relate to each other sexually. I mean, I think obviously on social media I've seen things where, you know, you'll see like dating across to, I don't know, like rooftops or some things where it's just people that you kind of see every day that you wouldn't normally have an interaction with, that you'll kind of see things. But
yeah, that would actually that's not something I considered. You can imagine, kid people are isolated. They may well have these, you know, shouting from rooftop to rooftop or stuff like that. You might actually meet people that you wouldn't have done in the first place if it wasn't for this. You know, it's like, I could certainly say that, I mean, obviously nothing in the least bit sexual, but I've actually got to know my neighbours a lot better during this whole lockdown thing. Just purely because we've nowhere else to go. So I'll be sat out in my backyard having a can of beer in the summer. They'd be all be out in their respective backyards. And whereas the people that we'd sort of like nod out and just say hello as we pass, we've ended up shouting abuse at each other, having banter and stuff, and brought everyone closer. You know what I mean? It's all like a little bit, it's brought the whole neighbourhood closer. So maybe that will be a side effect of it. Maybe people will take time to talk to people they wouldn't necessarily have spoken to before, or who knows what might come of that.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it was interesting when Melissa brought it up. She was saying that kind of before lockdowns were announced, she had kind of got some messages from people sometimes being like, hey, do you want to have some pre-lockdown like hookups before,
so
before
last
we
chance
can
saloon. Half price. Closing down sale.
Come and get it while it's hot.
Okay, while it's hot. Free side of cheese.
Sorry.
Too far, I'm sorry.
I can always rely on you to take it too far. But...
I don't know, it's both a blessing and a curse, to be honest.
So I think... Yeah, it'll be interesting. Maybe COVID will like change how we date in the long term or something.
Yeah, there'll probably have to be more glory holes.
Oh my god!
Yeah, you can't be too careful.
Social distancing.
Yeah. I mean, it's like it's just being socially responsible, isn't it? You know, it's like everyone's got to do the bit. Protect the NHS and all that, you know what I mean? So yeah, that's basically my analysis of the sexual situation during COVID. There's going to be an increase in glory holes. There you go. You can write
babies.
That down. You can take that to the bank. Fucking glory holes. I started this off with the best of intentions. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we're going to have a nice little conversation about a film and stuff and blah, blah, blah. Then we had a little hiatus in between bits. Oop. Letting away technical secrets there. And now I'm pissed off again and dragging about glory holes.
Well, I guess maybe I'll save you from digging yourself any further into that glory hole. I didn't go out to the listeners for any of their responses this time. But, you know, in the future, some of our questions we probably will put out to the listeners to get involved, because it's always fun to hear what you, the listener, has to say and what you think about the show or the questions. But speaking of questions, we're now to the dreaded point, Ian. What sex-related question would you like me to ask my next guest?
Okay, so my question for the next guest host is, with Christmas around the corner, it's a time for giving and sharing. Don't worry. We won't go there. But have you ever received anything sort of sexually related from Santa's sack?
Oh, no.
Yeah. And if you haven't, was there anything that you would like to have had? And if you have, did you open it in front of anybody embarrassing?
Oh, that should be a good one. And I think that should definitely be one that also goes out to listeners.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to hear about these Christmas sex gifts. Anyway.
Yeah, man. Ding dong merrily on high.
There's definitely some other songs I could probably think of. But before we get into...
Santa Claus is coming, and not necessarily to town.
I was going to say, before we get dirty caroling, maybe that should be a whole...
Dirty Carol, I think I know her.
You probably do. It's who I guest as on the weekends. As we kind of come to a close, if my listeners would like to interact with you on social media, where could they find you?
I'm not quite sure why they'd want to, especially after listening to that debauchery. But if you want to, on Twitter, it's at Ian Royd. That's IanRoyd. Instagram is E_Royd. So it's E_R-O-Y-D. I mean, I don't really use them very much. I use Twitter basically to check the football scores. Occasionally I'll stick something on Instagram like, ooh, I've seen a heron or something. But by all means, give us an ad or whatever. It's all good.
Amazing. And for those of you listening, you can find Screams and Moans on Instagram. It's Screams Moans. And on Twitter, I'm currently at Podcast Whore. So... thanks again, Ian, for joining me on the episode today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me back. It's always a pleasure. And I might actually be able to remember this one. So that's good. Mind you, that's borderline, to be honest. But
you might remember the first half. You might.
Yeah. But no, it's been a pleasure, as always. Yeah,
Definitely. But anyway, thanks to those of you who have listened. And if you like it, don't forget to hit subscribe. Would love a 5-star review on iTunes. And more importantly, don't forget to tell your friends. So until next time, bye.
Bye.